101.1 The Wiz, Cincinnati's number one for hip-hop and R&B, and the home of the Russ Poirot Morning Show. Happy Friday, y'all. Miss Ebony J, the host of Does the Most, holding it down right here inside of the Ebony J Show, where real talk meets real people. And today, my feature artist of the week is Nook. 30 letters, what's poppin'?
What's going on?
Nothing, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You got to escape from my niece, man.
Oh, you and Princess Patty. She's the cutest.
Listen, man, I don't know how she does it, but she just knows when I'm leaving, because I promise you, I ain't seen her all morning. And she comes sleeping down the steps in my room because I put my shoes. So that's how my morning started today. How you?
I'm doing good. So are you like a full-time uncle or something?
Let me not take all the credit from my brother, man. My brother's man, for real, my brother's a good parent, man. You know, he goes through emotions like it's breathing. And I can't say that I do that, you know, but I'm a great part-time.
That's what's up, man. I love seeing on your Facebook and your Instagram. You know, she a big fan of 3 Letters. I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah, man. She hold it down, man. You know what I mean? She's honest, too. She ain't gonna never lie to me, and I know that much. So.
Have you ever played her a song of yours and she didn't dance to it?
yeah. It was crazy. It's the ones that be about her. Like,
ain't got no love for these women.
Nope.
But I do anything for Patty, though. She walking down, she be getting into everything. If we gon' spark the hookah, gotta move it to the patio.
All the records that I've rapped about her, I try to play it for her, trying to see if she recognize hearing her name, and she never really responds. She likes the ratchet records.
I wanna see that ass do some damage. Man, that ass gon' goddamn it. Bad when that ass hit the flow. I bet that ass gon' do damage. You fucking it up for show. Now fuck it up, fuck it up.
I'm telling you, like, all the ones that I wouldn't want her to hear, she like those. Like, the ones baby shouldn't be listening to. She hear the beast of those records, the ones she like.
Heck, nah. Kids, you know, they like their own thing. That damage record hot, though.
Yeah, and you know what? They smart, too, man. And I just like observing her and watching her every day, seeing what else she's going to come up with. She's crazy. I don't know it. Trying to tell y'all.
I see. You talked about her a lot on your song that I Can't Make This Up mixtape was off the chain, baby. I was so impressed.
Hey, man, but you know what? Forget that, man. Let me tell you something. I'm proud of you.
Aw.
You know what I mean? For real, man, because I remember them cold winters, man, in 09, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We was on campus. See, a lot of people don't know, man. We go way back.
Way back. We started from the bottom, for real.
We was kids, man, and I'm just so happy. Man, and everything that you got going, and I'm just proud of you, man. If ain't nobody else proud of you, I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you. That means so much. I was just thinking at the ride here. I mean, I've been bumping your mixtape all week long, and I'm like, this guy came from, you know, I make a lot of money because I work a 9-to-5.
Oh, man, you took it back. Man. Oh, my God.
Took it back.
So yeah, man, it's so crazy. Like I said, it's a beautiful thing, man. I sit up all the time every time I hear your voice. I'm like, man, I don't know if you want me to say your name, but I'm like, yo, that's you. Say it, man. Like, that's so crazy to me. Like, and I remember you telling me you was going to do it, man. You know, and it's so crazy because you were one of the first people that made me really believe in speaking things into existence.
Mm-hmm.
You are a walking, you know what I'm saying, example of that, and I think that's so dope. So keep doing what you're doing, man. And like I said, I'm right behind you.
Oh, I know. I see you. I mean, shoot. Come on, baby. I'm excited for you. You came from Natty Dance.
Yeah, man.
Cincinnati star really, really rocking with the kid from Natty Dance. And not to mention, you know, So Seductive. That was the group you started with. You went solo.
Oh, man. You know what? It's crazy because, man, Natty Dance was a fool, man. Like, I hate that record to this day, but, you know, it was something that my current manager and good long-term friend, you know, it was his idea for me to do a record like that, kind of, you know, because he knew I could dance, and then he just knew that that was hot at the time. You know, a couple of other guys from the city had dance records that were doing numbers, so he was like, you got to make a dance record. And that was my first record by myself, like, outside the So Seductive, and it just happened to do what it did, man, and it's a blessing, man, but I feel like I've matured a lot since that record.
Agreed.
And, you know, I feel like I'm a lot more confident than I was.
What has changed? What's different?
Then it was so overwhelming, all the attention I was receiving, I didn't expect. So I wasn't spare. Like, I didn't have any other records other than that record. Like, you know, my business side of things weren't together. Like, I didn't have my name copyrighted. I didn't know nothing about, you know, the business of music or even networking or branding my name or anything of that nature. So, you know, it was definitely a good time for me, but it had its ups and downs. But I'm glad it happened.
Oh, yeah. Everything happens for a reason because, you know, the return of that, we started hearing Keep It Player and Encore. And
Yeah. Them records, man. Yeah, Encore, man. Shout out Lantana, man. That was pretty cool. Like, them records, man, those were my development records, like I said, because being in a group, I didn't know how to write more than 16 bars. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
We was in a group, so all I had to do was write my verse. I never had to compose an entire record from beginning to end, hook, bridge, verses, ad-libs. Like, I had to literally find my complete self. And I think this third mixtape, not to take anything away from the first two, because I know a lot of people like the first two.
Right.
This third one, man, I'm more confident in, not because of, you know, my status or the people that's been responding to it, but just because I honestly believe, Ebony J, that this mixtape is 100% authentic. Like, I told my complete story and I delivered a message the best way I could, the only way I knew how, and it feels good to be able to do that. Like, I can say on the first two mixtapes I may have performed to whatever I thought people liked or changed my original thought to appeal to an audience that I may have been trying to project. This particular mixtape, I'm not going to say I didn't care, but, you know, it's like how I'm talking to you now. Like, that's how the record's for. I just going in there and getting it off my chest.
You had to be you.
Yeah, I couldn't make none of it up. I promise you, everything's factual on that mixtape. So if you listen and you hear something that may be like, really? It really happened. Everything's happened. Only thing that's not factual, let me get this out the way.
Yeah, get it out the way, because I'm on your butt.
How rude am I? I'm one of the coolest guys, and me and my whole crew is live. Preach! I'm coolly high. So much smoke set the room on fire.
I do not smoke at all.
I had my question ready.
I know, yeah. I've never smoked in my life. Like, never smoked. But I'm around a lot of people who do, and I know that there's a pastime for a lot of people, so I feel like it's something that I don't mind indulging, saying I've participated in, but nah, I've never smoked.
Yeah, that was definitely gonna be my question. Like, you, bruh, I know you ain't never smoked nothing, so how are you able to make music that appeals to the smokers?
Even being involved with music, that's the first thing that happens. You walk in the studio,
smoke everywhere, huh?
They spark them on ASAP. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I can't, I'm in the studio, they doing it. You know, I'm in meetings with guys, and then, like, you know, having experiences being around guys in the industry, that's all they do. I can't, not know nothing about it. You know,
yeah.
But I've had to ask, though. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a smoking specialist or nothing like that. I've had to call my homies and be like, hey, bro, what do they call this? What do they call that? And how much, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. Of course, different strokes for different folks. That's their writing process. What is your writing process?
So crazy, man. I'm writing a verse right now, man. I started writing this verse on Saturday, and I believe people don't understand how hard it is to really, to folks really, like, master your craft. Like, and I'm so dedicated that I get frustrated with myself.
So is it, like, hard for you to do features?
That's one of the main reasons.
Like, don't that frustrate you?
It's tough for me to do features because, every day I put so much time and effort into my records.
Yes.
That, you know, I don't want to stunt anybody else. I can do whatever they want to do because a lot of people have time on when they need records done. Like, a guy sent me a record on a Thursday and went back Friday. I don't feel like that record Friday is going to be exactly the way I want it to be. So because I have so many other things going on in my life, I don't really have as much time as I would like to sit down and slowly just write. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I started writing this record, I was on an airplane. I was uncomfortable. My ears were popping. And I just really couldn't get into my groove. And then I was out of town, so I was handling a lot of business and different meetings with PRs, DJs, and different things like that. I still couldn't. I was trying to write in between meetings. That stoplight, different things like that. And I just really couldn't, you know, get into my groove. And a lot of times that, it doesn't discourage me, but it frustrates me because I'll be feeling like, man, yo, what if Diddy called me or Jay-Z called me and need a verse right now?
Right. Yeah. Writer's block is real.
You know what I mean? But I also take into consideration a lot of things that I got going on. Once I've been fortunate enough to be in that circumstance where I ain't got to worry about nothing but rap, I don't think I'll have a problem.
Yeah.
But right now, me having to do so much, I literally got to shut my phone off, shut the TV off, lock my door, get into my zone. Yeah, man, I was able to do that yesterday for a couple of hours, and, man, record's finished. You feel me? But Saturday to yesterday, ain't think I was gonna make it. I ain't gonna lie to you.
It be like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like, you know, writer's block happens to everyone, but it rarely happens to me because I've learned to literally realize that my initial thought is how I really feel.
Yeah.
You know what that initial thought is? People are not gonna like you anyway, regardless of whatever you do. You can do it the best. You can be good. You can be amazing. But people are not gonna like you anyway. And I hate to say it that way, but
real talk means real people.
That's what you just kind of got to realize. What more reason to be yourself than to know that even when you're trying to be somebody you're not, people still not going to like you, but just be yourself.
And that's what I like about this I Couldn't Make It Up mixtape, because it wasn't about everybody else. We could tell when we listened to this mixtape that this is Nook. He was straight himself. He ain't care what nobody thought. And he came through with his own sound, with his own feel. Like, bruh, you was ripping other people's beats better than them. Like, how did you even choose what songs to go on?
Yeah, man. First of all, I want to say I appreciate that. You even acknowledge it. That's what I put in, period. And to answer your question, it's like, them records, man, it was for lyrical exercise, man. Them records, I didn't even want on my mixtape. Like, I didn't want no records from other artists on my mixtape. I wanted to do all original records. But when I did those songs, it was more so, man, me just wanting to have something to do. Like, I don't get bored, Miss Ebony J. So when I'm not, it's like, man, I sit around and I see time going. Like they say, time waits for no man. That's a whole different conversation. But anytime I'm not rapping, I feel like it's somebody somewhere with the pen and pad doing work.
Come on.
So it's like them records, man, was lyrical exercise. For it was more so like, man, I ain't bought no beat this week, or I ain't been in the lab all week, so I need to do something. It don't cost me nothing to download the T-Pain Can't Believe It beat.
Heartless chest broke. Yep. Get hoes, don't let them get close. Cause they all out here trying to get yours. Feelings, we don't catch those. Ain't nothing special. Girl, it ain't nothing to us. Ain't nothing special. Ain't nothing special. Ain't nothing special.
Ain't nothing special. Write something. It don't cost me nothing to do that. And so those records is just like, man, I gotta do something to keep my mind going, keep my thoughts going, and keep, you know, working. And like I said, making music, man, it's so expensive to definitely say. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm not even gonna sit here and tell anybody that's making music to think that it's just something that everybody can do, because if you ain't got the funds, man, it's tough.
So mm-hmm.
Them records was free records. Like, Can't Believe It record was free. Studio was free. I rapped over the Rihanna record, the You The One joint, that was free. Like, them beats didn't cost me nothing. So I looked at that as like, okay, well, you're gonna snap on these real quick for me. And my team just happened to like it so much, they were like, put them on the mix. I'm like, all right, that's how that happened.
I was actually feeling that Aaliyah record, man. Like, that record was nice. It almost sounded like she was in the studio with you.
Yeah. Actually, that Aaliyah record, the biggest misconception about my mixtape is that a lot of people don't know that Aaliyah record, that's actually 100% my record. Like, that's a sample record. Like, that's not her actual beat. That's a sample record with her audio over a whole different...
True evening, came over with no intentions of leaving. Let me get you some comfortable you can sleep in. Cause I know what you're doing, I know it's not what you're doing. And I'ma lay it down, I'ma lay in it. And yeah, you know I like to play in it. Come over before you change your mind.
I know it's misconstrued with the actual Can I Come Over record. But yeah, man, I did that one, and that one was cool too. And yeah, man, I just... all of them was cool, man, but I'm over, like, every song on the mixtape, man. Like, I did do a whole mixtape today, I feel like. You know what I mean?
I hear a lot of artists say that, and like, I feel y'all, but y'all gotta understand, that single made you. We will never forget Soulja Boy. Crank That Soulja Boy is something we're gonna do for the rest of our life. The Natty Dance is that song that introduced us to Nook. You gonna get tired of performing it, but bruh, that's what we know you as. So we wanna hear that first, then you can do all that other stuff, cause you know that's just how you build a rapport with your city. And like, one of the things I wanted to say too, like, how do you feel about being in the Cincinnati market, in your music in the Cincinnati market, because you don't make trap music. So how do you like? How are you staying relevant in this scene?
What's so crazy is that, man, I couldn't even answer that. I don't know how I've been able to do it, but one thing that I do know is that I believe respect is everything. And you know, I've always been able to say your favorite rapper in the city like my music. Like, I've always said that even before. You know, I felt like I was relevant enough to even be considered one of the Cincinnati rappers. Because it's a lot of guys who make music, but it's hard to be considered a rapper from where you're from if a lot of people don't know you. So at the time when a lot of people didn't know me, I believed all the rappers. And I've always used that as motivation. Like, man, the guys that everybody like me. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's one of those integrity type things. Like, you know, I wouldn't compare myself to Kanye, but it's a lot of people that don't like Kanye. But he got 22 Grammys. And I don't know if you know, but when they vote for Grammys, those are not us voting for those awards. Those are other musicians and other artists and other people and other, you know, people that make music that feel like Kanye deserved those Grammys. Mm-hmm. We have the respect of the people that we like. You know what I'm saying? So does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like I'd rather have that than all of that other stuff. So
I feel
Man, I don't know, but it's cool. I mean, I feel like you know, a couple of those guys. I'm not gonna really say who in particular, but I feel like a couple of those guys, you know, kind of, you know, turn their heads a little bit, kind of like, huh, like they don't understand how I'm able to, you know, maintain that relevance and not be the type of artist that they would prefer to hear or prefer to, you know, see do good. But I just be myself, man. Like I said, it's a blessing, man. Like I told you from the beginning, like I can't explain it. But
how do you feel about not being on the Cincinnati riots?
I wanted to be on the first one, but I wasn't ready. The first one was the best one. Let me say that. And KID, which I think is a dope artist, he had the best verse to me, and I remember seeing it and being upset that I wasn't on it because I was really relevant at that time because of my particular record. But I wasn't ready. And everything happens for a reason, and I'm glad I wasn't on it. And then the second one, I kind of just was like, it's the second one. And then the third one, I'm just like, it's the third one. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I kind of really ain't really thought about it since the first one.
So if you have the opportunity to get on it next year, you wouldn't want it?
I'm not going to say I wouldn't want it because anything that represents my city, especially with a whole bunch of artists coming together, I think is a positive thing to happen, especially to Cincinnati. So I'm not going to say I wouldn't want to. But I don't feel as if it's necessary because, again, the way it's marketed, you know, it's tough for a lot of guys to get looked at. You know, this third one had, like 200 guys, I think. So, I mean, and I'm not saying taking away from any of those guys, but, you know, they spend all year writing one record, one verse for one record, and expecting that record to give them notoriety.
And it's
taken away from that, them realizing that it takes more than just a Cincinnati riot or a platform that another artist from here is putting you on. It's like, kudos to B. Luck, because he does a lot of positive things for Cincinnati music and Cincinnati, period. But I'm not sitting here expecting this man to put me on a platform that he's putting himself on, and he feels like he's going to kill that platform. It's like he's in ultimate control of that whole regard, and I couldn't see myself even, you know, giving him the power to control my livelihood in regards to music. I mean, now, if he wants to do work with me elsewhere, because we got records together and we just ain't never put them out. But, you know, the Cincinnati Riot, man, it's just a whole lot into it that people see. And a lot of those guys got their hopes up, like, oh, I'm on a riot, and the riot comes out, we hear their verse, and then they go away. And it's like, now what, bro? You feel me? No disrespect or no nothing to nobody, because I love the Cincinnati Riots. But, I mean, Miss Ebony J, how many guys can you name everybody from all the riots?
I can't. I ain't even going to lie. I can't.
Right.
So I feel you. And speaking of platforms, you know, too, I know the R&B Takeover was done, and I know you was on that.
Oh, yeah,
but
you're not in the
final thing. Like, what happened? What's up?
I did that because, you know, I keep telling myself I don't have nothing to prove, but I feel like I got something to prove, you know, and that was more so, man, again, I seen it and didn't know about it. And then I seen it, and I was like, well, yo, I feel like I'm diverse enough to where I can get on that train if I really want to. Like, and I feel like that record was more so to show my strength as a writer, not really like a singer, because I'm not a singer, but I can write singing records. So I was like, well, man, you know, let me just see what's happening. And honestly, like, I'm not to discredit anyone, but I was playing, like, you know, kind of more so just like, man, let me see what I'm finna do. Let me knock this out real quick. Just because, like, the day I dropped my verse, I wrote my verse on the way to the studio to drop my verse. And then I dropped my verse and left. Like, I was in there like 10 minutes. So it was more so just to show my creative side. And then when they really chose me, I'm like, oh, all right, like, I wasn't expecting them to even pick me, like, or even pay me any mind, because I know as soon as they heard my name, like, oh, no rap, like, why would we even choose him? You know what I mean? So I just wasn't ready. And then I think when they was doing the final call and getting everybody together in regards to getting footage and all the other things that came with it, I was out of town, and because I was on the tour for a couple of weeks with DJ Fresh and Rich Homie Quan and Jeezy and all of them, the Under Influence tour. So it kind of got away from me a little bit. I was excited out there with those type of people, and I really wasn't thinking about it. And yeah, man, that's just kind of happened.
So is
man.
It safe to say you might have dropped the ball on the opportunity?
I've done that before. I've done that before. I should have been a part of things and didn't really think about it until it came out and been like, I should have did that. You know what I mean? So I see it being one of those instances, but again, you know, I don't know, man.
Everything happens for a reason. It definitely be like that sometimes, and that's why I had to ask you that, because we always say we want this, we want that, we got something to prove, we don't got something to prove, and then when the opportunity comes, you know, hey, something else come up and we doing something else that don't happen. So, you know, I kind of had to ask you that because, you know, you said the same thing might have happened with, you know, maybe some other things or, you know, in another situation not pertaining to music, but just period in life. Like, do you feel like sometimes you think you're ready, but then you're not? And then you get there and you're not? Is it fear? What is it?
It is, you know what it is? It's really being ignorant, man. And people use ignorance the wrong way. Ignorance is lack of knowing. And my biggest fear is going into a situation and not being prepared or knowing what's going on. So a lot of those instances, man, it'd be ignorance because I don't be knowing what to expect or if it's real or if it's legit. Because, man, I spent an entire year. When I made Natty Dance, I spent the entire year. I performed 5 nights a week, like 6 months. You know what I'm saying? I was
going to
hole-in-the-wall clubs. I was at talent shows, college campuses, different venues in different cities. And a lot of those things cost me more than they made me. You know what I'm saying? The traveling expenses and, you know, promoters not having the venues together and the sound systems being terrible. And like I said, man, I was overworking myself and it didn't benefit me at all because the people I was dealing with didn't have their things together. They weren't legit people. They were what you would call janky promoters.
Right.
So, It kind of scarred me, man. I'm not too excited anymore about anything. Like, when people come to me with opportunities, I just kind of look at them like, how serious are you? You know what I mean? How real is it? How legit is it? Because I'm coming 100%. You know, I had dancers. I have people I have to account for. So I got dancers and a DJ and a manager and T-shirts and hoodies and CDs, and I'm doing all these different things. And all you got to do is have the venue together to sound cool and let me do my thing. And then a lot of these places I was going to couldn't hold up their end. So I kind of just was like, I got to see it to believe it. And again, I told you, there have been instances where I was like, man, I'm not even going to pay that no mind. And then seen it and been like, I should have did that. And there's been things that where I just wasn't going to do that. You know, my management was like, you got to do it. And I've done it and been like, oh, man, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
but sometimes one bad apple just spoiled a whole bunch.
Right. But I'm not, man, I never am I the guy that thinks I'm too good to do anything, man. And I just want to make sure I say that because, you know, I've had another artist actually think that about me in regards to one of their events. And when I showed up, that person was startled because they didn't believe I would come. And it's like, I'm not, you know, performing at venues in the city is not beneath me. Performing at talent shows is not beneath me. Performing anywhere is not beneath me. You know what I mean? Because I believe that all of that can still, at this point, be beneficial for me. So I don't care if it's at a birthday party or graduation. I'm down. I just want the person that come to me to be as legit about it as I'm going to be. That's all I ask.
Okay, I got you now. I'm running out of time. I got a couple more questions before we get out of here. But one of them is, you know, you said you were doing some stuff on Under the Influence tour. You know, does that have something to do with what you're working on right now? Like, what's your focus right now?
My focus right now, man, is trying to expand, you know, learning the business, learning how to market myself, building that camaraderie, like building that reputation to where, you know, my name holds weight, you know, and that's another milestone I've literally been trying to accomplish for the longest. Because before it was more so people just hearing the records and knowing they were me. That was my biggest problem, man. You know, my songs would come on and nobody would know they were my songs. And people would like the songs but be standing right next to me and not know they're my songs. So I feel like now when people hear my voice, they know my voice, and that's just another milestone in me trying to progress. And I don't feel like I'm anywhere, you know what I'm saying, near what I really want to do. But, you know, to everybody else's standards, I'm doing good. And I'm not going to sit and say I'm not doing good.
What is my question, Nook? How would you know when you made it?
Man, that's tough.
Me and Steph had this conversation the other day, and you know, like I said, people look at me and be like, you made it, da, 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 da. Like, yeah, I'm living my dream, this was my goal, but how will I know when I made it? Because I don't feel like I made it. And I think that's a question that you gotta really ask yourself. I really don't feel like I make it until the day I speak to Oprah. When I talk to Oprah, I know I made it, because I did something bigger than me. I know I made it when I've been featured in Essence magazine, and I've been on the cover of Ebony, and I've been given awards, Grammys, Image Awards, you know. I don't know I made it then. But, like, I want you to really, truly think of that. Like, how would you know you made it? What would put that smile on your face and to know, like, I did it? Because I think, man, we are so into this grind and we love this so much. Like, you know, it's so much that you want to do. You did it. Like, you was on Under the Influence tour, met all these people, and you still don't feel like you made it? Like, what's going to make you feel that way, bruh?
I would say, man, performing in front of that many people that they were performing in front of will really make me feel like I made it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I actually walked on that stage and was, you know, standing with DJ Drama and a lot of those guys. And I couldn't, the whole back of the venue, I couldn't identify a face. Like, it was that many people. And it was just like, if I was to ever be in that position to do that, because performing is the best thing in regards to music for me, performing is my favorite thing to do. If I was to perform in front of that magnitude of people, I think that would really make me feel like I made it. Even if it was just once, man, like, I would feel like I made it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because, like, I'm able to impact this many people at once. You know what I mean? Right now in my life, I'm able to take a piece of these people's time and life right now. And it's all dedicated to me and what I've worked so hard to do. So I think that's it for real. I know that's kind of mild, but I don't know. That just made me feel
real good. Nah, it's whatever it is to you. It's your life. It's your dream. Nobody can measure that for you. And I think that's what people got to twist it at. You know, they think they can measure it. You know, you made it. You done it. You did it. No, we all have different levels to it. So you have to know that yourself.
I can't be complacent, man. You know, and I think I got to always want to do better. And I think that's what helps me get better. And that's what helps me keep pushing, man, because, again, it's hard. Rap is hard. A lot of people rap. A lot of people make music, and it's really not something that I would say that you should try to do if you're really not dedicated to it, because you can't, I can't say that on it, but you can't have a word, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And doing music, because, you know, like I said, it gets tough, man. You know, it's nice you don't sleep, you know what I'm saying? Times you don't eat, you know what I'm saying? Disputes with people that think they know you better than you know you, then you have people who care about you but don't really know nothing about what you do, so their emotions get involved. It's a whole lot of...
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother Oprah.
I'm only at the beginning, though. You know how they got XXL freshman class? I kind of feel like I'm in eighth grade, you know what I mean?
So, mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work I got to do, and yeah, man, I'm with it, though.
That's what I like to hear. The best is yet to come. Grind, stack, pray, do what you got to do. Keep working hard, and he definitely will reward you. Your efforts is not in vain. And I just want to say once again, I am so proud of you. I could not make this up. Mixtape was off the chain. I can tell you really worked hard. But go ahead and let the people know where they can follow you at if they want to learn more about Nook.
Oh, okay. You can follow me on Twitter at NookTweeted. That's N-U-K tweeted. My Instagram is 3 letters Nook, the number 3 letters with a Z, N-U-K. And my Facebook is 3 letters Nook, where everything's spelled correctly. So that's how you can follow me. My Gmail is 3 letters Nook, the same as my Twitter. You can add me on Twitter. You can add me on Instagram. I don't mind following back. And, yeah. That's what's happening.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the only show where real talk meets real people, the Ebony J Show on 101.1 The Wiz, Cincinnati's number one for hip-hop and R&B, the home of the Russ Parr Morning Show. I am Miss Ebony J, the host that does the most. And look, thank you so much for coming, honey. Thanks for being my feature artist of the week. Go ahead and introduce your single off the I Could Not Make This Up mixtape.
Hey, man, it's so crazy, but I appreciate this again, man. I'm at work right now, y'all, too, so... That's why I was kind of, like, unexpected. But my single right here called Playing With The P, I want y'all to turn up and rock with me one time. And we finna get it poppin'. Miss Ebony J Show, what's happening?
Why you playin' with the pussy? Go ahead and bust it open. Why you playin' with the pussy? Go ahead and bust it open.
I don't know if you noticed. I noticed that you want me, and I know this. So why you playing with the pussy? Go ahead and bust it open. Hey, now why you playing with the pussy? Hey, don't understand why you playing with the pussy. Hey, don't understand why you playing with the pussy. Why you playing? Why you playing with the pussy?
You got your makeup on, hair real long. Why you acting like you don't wanna go home? With a youngin', baby, we can get it on. Why you playing? Why you playing with the pussy? Hey,
allow me to introduce myself. My name is Hold Up. She already know me. And she the type to have the pussy for sale. Hope she can tell that I'm the type to leave it right on the shelf. Cause I ain't paying for the pussy, ayy. I'm like a kid with a handful of goodies, ayy. That mean it's more that I can ask for. Made more money, still in love with Stacey Dash, though. Lick her all night like I couldn't let the flash go.
And she say she's going natural. Gave me hand for the first time, she's a natural. Don't want a pussy nigga in the fucking with an asshole.
Well, at least I'm being honest. Deserves a little credit like when you late with assignments. We can post up and we ain't worried about the comments. I Carson Palmer asked why she playing with Chad Johnson.
I don't know if you noticed. I noticed that you want me, and I know this. So why you playing with the pussy? Go ahead and bust it open.
Hey, now why you playing with the pussy? Hey, don't understand why you playing with the pussy. Hey, don't understand why you playing with the pussy. Why you playing? Why you playing with the pussy?
You got your makeup on, hair real long. Why you acting like you don't wanna go home? With a youngin', baby, we can get it on. Why you playing? Why you playing with the pussy?
Hey, she just threw in the towel. She gives it up like applause from the crowd. And I been doing good, doing me all the while. And I can never do to you more than what you allow. Hey, hey, so why you playing with the pussy? Hey, I'm talking shit, so let me say it to the pussy face. Hey, get your mind out the gutter, though. Or I'ma have to dig it up, I'm on my scutter, bros. In Cincinnati, the setting. So treat my dick like it's written. And you can hop on and ride it until I get off. Until you get off the exit, you take a sex drive and you headed in my direction. What's up? Hey, now I'm all she discussed. You know you put it down when she's somewhere bringing you up. A couple girls around town wanna see what's up. And the word's getting around that I know how to fuck. So yeah,
I don't know if you noticed. I noticed that you want me, and I know this. So why you playing with the pussy? Go ahead and bust it open.
Hey, now why you playing with the pussy? Hey, don't understand why you playing with the pussy. Hey, don't understand why you playing with the pussy. Why you playing? Why you playing with the pussy?
You got your makeup on, hair real long. Why you acting like you don't wanna go home? With a youngin', baby, we can get it on. Why you playing? Why you playing with the pussy?
The Ebony J Show is the only show where real talk meets real people.